Can I just start by reading Isaiah 61? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Zion, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In the righteous they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient cities, repair cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants, who will feed your flocks and plough your fields and tend your vineyards. You'll be called a priest of the Lord, and ministers of our God. You will feed of the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonour, you will enjoy a double share of honour. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognised and honoured among the nations. Everyone will realise that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in a wedding suit or a bride with her jewels. The Sovereign Lord will show his justice in the nation of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. Amen. Can I just say a big thank you to everybody before I start? We really do appreciate so much all the prayers and support from this church. You've got no idea how much we do appreciate it. So can I just start by saying a huge big thank you? I don't know how many of you know how Rock actually started, so I'll give a very, very brief description of how it started first, and then we'll go on to where we are today. I was about 16, and I had two dreams. And one was about I was going to be approached to take on four children, and the other one was about Rock. And my life went on, and many, many years later, as things developed, I started to think, hang on a minute, that first dream, in my dream I was approached to take four children, the two oldest were going to be girls, the two youngest were going to be boys, and I was in this particular house, and different things in my life had happened. And one day I thought, my goodness, life had moved on, and I was in this house, and these things had happened, and I thought, hang on a minute, is this the Lord, or was it just a dream? And I can remember saying to the Lord, okay, I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I've never ever done it since. And I said, I'm going to put a fleece out. And I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I said, give me some children's clothes or children's toys, and I'm going to give you to Friday at midnight on this particular day. I said, I'm not going to say a word to anybody, and if this is you, fair enough. If it's not, I'm getting on with my life, and that's it. And it got to Friday, and I was supposed to be putting a Baptist minister and his wife up for the weekend, and they rang to say they wouldn't be coming. And I thought, okay. And I had a friend who was doing some decorating. And I thought, well, I'll go and help her to finish her decorating. By which time I was thinking, it's never going to happen. I'm free. I'm going to be fine. Anyway, I went to help my friend do some decorating. And it got to 5 to 12 at night when we sat down having a coffee. And she said to me, Pam, she says, you're going to think I've lost it. And I said, okay. So she said, somebody came to me this week and gave me a whole load of children's clothes and said I would know who to give them to. And she said, I don't know why, but she said, I just feel God telling me I've got to give them to you. So time went on. I went into foster, and I fostered at weekends. I worked full-time, fostered at weekends. And then lo and behold, I was approached one day from Lincoln Social Services and asked if I would take these four children, if I would consider it. And there was four children, two oldest were girls, the two youngest were boys. I basically was the last hope. If I didn't take them, we were all going to be split up. And I didn't have a doubt. I couldn't doubt. And over the couple of weeks before I did take them, there was no end of prophecies and all sorts of things confirming that I was to do it as well. And it was just amazing. But what I didn't realise, that one of my children would have learning disabilities. And as many of you probably know, I did the shoeboxes for many, many years. And one day I was going up to Lincoln, to Dunholm, to pick up some shoeboxes. And we had ordered a van, and it was supposed to be a really big van. And when we went to pick it up, it was a smaller van. And we thought, we're never going to get all these shoeboxes in this van. It's a couple of thousand. We thought, we're never going to get them in. So at the time, I had one of these big vans. So I said, I'll have to take my car or my van. And I went up to Dunholm, and I was on my own. It wasn't very often I was on my own, but I was on my own. And coming back, I started to say to the Lord, what am I going to do with Michael? I said, you know, he's coming up to leaving school. What am I going to do with him? We're going to be at home together. He's a great big strapping lad, full of hormones, and we're going to kill each other. And I said, you know, we've got to do something. I said, Lord, what can I do? And I was thinking about, you know, could I start a business? Could I do this or could I do that? And God just spoke to me and said, now's the time for that second dream that I gave you. And I said, but God, that was huge. That was huge. You know, that's something else. That was huge. And God said to me, no, now is the time for that second dream. And I can remember saying to the Lord, I'll do it, Lord, on one condition. And when I look back now, I think, oh, my goodness, people must think I'm awful. But I said, Lord, I'll do it on one condition, and that is that you are the boss and that you take control and that you've got to take responsibility of this because it's too big and I can't take it. And I came back and I said, and God, you've got to send people alongside to help me here. Otherwise, I can't do this. And I came back to the warehouse and I had a Christian solicitor. He was Church of England solicitor and his wife. And they'd come to help me to unload a van. And he wasn't really a faith man, I would say. He was just a, you know, very nice gentleman, but that was it. Anyway, I decided to invite them back for a coffee. So they came back for a coffee. And I said to him, I said, can I just put something past you? And I thought, this will be interesting. And I said to him, I told him what I felt God calling me to do. And he just said to me, I think it's amazing. I'll tell you what, I'll get up and I'll start your charity status straight away. And it started from that day. And it was amazing the way that God, every single time, has brought people alongside us to help us every single time. He's never, ever failed us. And we went from there and we went to start the charity. And we decided to start it by doing a big fun day. Novartis came and said they would let us have their field. So we thought, okay, we'll do this big fun day. And we just felt God telling us that we should do this fun day. So we went to do this fun day and it chucked it down with rain. It absolutely poured and it was a complete washout. And I can remember going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, you told us to do this fun day. Why have we done it? It's just been a complete washout. What's in it? Why? What I didn't realise is that Radio Humberside had got to hear about it and started to found out that I wanted to start the charity, knowing me from the shoeboxes, and rang me up and said, Pam, I understand you're wanting to start a charity. So I said, yes. She said, well, could you come on radio and we'd like to interview you live? And I can remember at the time thinking, oh, no, live, no way. And I remember trying to get all my board to see if they would come and do it, and nobody could do it. I was the only one that was going to be available. And I went and did it, and at the end of the show, somebody rang up, and it was another solicitor from another, and said that there's somebody in his practice and would like to be anonymous, but would like to give us £5,000. And that is exactly what started the charity. So what we felt was, you know, that's what God did. We went from there, and obviously we needed somewhere to start the charity from. And I felt the Lord kept on saying to me, I want you to speak to Eric Carter. And I'm saying, but Lord, why do I need to speak to Eric Carter? Why do I need to speak to Eric Carter? And as some of you all know, Eric Carter used to be the manager of the Ice House. And I said, Lord, why do I need to speak to Eric Carter? I said, just speak to Eric Carter. And this went on for months. And then one day I was in church and I saw him coming down the aisle towards me. I said, okay, Lord, I'll speak to Eric Carter. So I went to speak to him and I started to share with him what I felt God was telling me to do. And he said, God is in this, God is in this. And I'm thinking, right. And he said, where do we fit in? And out of my mouth came, what about your cafe? Now, I didn't know anything that they had was going to have a cafe. And he said, how did you know he was going to have a cafe? I said, I didn't. And then he said, the next thing came out of my mouth was, what about your cleaning? And he said, how did you know that we're struggling with cleaning? I said, I didn't. He said, God's in this. He said, God's in this. It went to the board of the Ice House, and very quickly it was agreed that I would take over the cafe at the Ice House, and we would do the cleaning for the Ice House. And so that's what happened. And okay, God just blessed us tremendously, and we started there with two special needs. And we've been going a little while, and I had one member of staff, and she was a cleaner, and she was going to go on holiday for a fortnight. And I said, God, well, what am I going to do? We've committed ourselves to the ice house to do the cleaning. I said, we're doing the cafe, we're doing everything else. I said, I can't spread myself anymore. Lord, what do I do? And I started to pray about it. I was praying about it in the morning. In an afternoon, a lady came in, and an older lady, and she said to me, Pam, she said, I was in prayer this morning, and she said, God told me that you had a need, and that I had to come and meet that need. And she came, and I said, I can't possibly ask you this. She said, yes, you've got to. She said, what is it? I said, I'm needing a cleaner. And she said, right, she said, I'm here, and I'm here to clean. And she came faithfully with her granddaughter for 2 weeks and cleaned for us. And it's just been amazing. Every single time we've needed something, God has always turned up. We left the ice house, and we grew out of the ice house, and we needed to find somewhere else. And as probably most of you know, we moved into Home Hill School. But before we moved to Home Hill School, I really felt the Lord speaking to me, and I was starting to challenge, and I must admit, I'm always challenging myself all the time to make sure that we are always in the centre of God's will. And I was challenging myself one day, and I said to the Lord, you know, are we doing the right, are we right? And God said, you are doing the right thing, but you're in the wrong place. And I said, okay. And with that, I decided to get hold of the council to see if they would be prepared to give us a building. And just before that, I had taken on a young man, and I took on this young man basically because his parents came to see me, and he'd gone to university, and basically he'd had a mental breakdown and he wasn't in a very good place. And his family came and said, would we take this gentleman on? And his father actually gave me my first job when I started work, so I felt to honour them that I would take this young man on. And I took him on, and for the first 18 months, he was neither use nor ornament to us. He was in a very bad way, and it was just remarkable to see how God was just starting to heal and restore him. And I felt, we'd say we'd got this, we'd put out to the council, and we got an email back from the council to say they wanted to meet us. And I asked all my board again if they would come with us to this meeting, and again, nobody was going to be available, and I was going to be on my own. And it was something that God seems to do. Every time I'm going to be moved forward, I'm on my own. I think God's just challenging my faith all the time. And I just felt the Lord saying, take that young man with you. Anyway, I took him with me, and we went to this meeting, and everybody prayed before we went, and I hadn't got a clue what they was going to ask me. And we got there, and we went into this meeting, and they said, so you would like a school, would you? I said, yes, I would. How much are you going to pay for it? I said, I'm not. So how much are you going to rent it for us from us? I said, I'm not. So he said, you expect us to give you a school, and you expect us to give taxpayers money and everything else, and you expect us to give you a school for free? I said, I do. I said, what do you think? Why do you think we should do that? I said, just look at all the work we're doing, blah, 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 blah. We went on, and he said, how are you going to redo it? How are you going to? I said, how do you think we did it? I said, how do you do this? And we went back and forth like this for 15 minutes, and I was so cheeky, I can't believe it now. But 15 minutes we went back and forth, and I kept saying, God, just turn up, God, turn up. I can't keep this going, I can't keep this going. And after about 15 minutes, all of a sudden, he said, Pam, stop. And I said, okay. He said, I don't know what's going on here. He said, I just feel so emotional. And he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, but I just feel that we've got to help you. And it was just incredible. I was in that meeting in the end for an hour and 50 minutes. And I walked out, and as we got out, we got into the car, and the young man said to me, he said, Pam, what happened? I said, God turned up. And it was just incredible the way just God took over. We went from there, and we started, as many of you may know or may remember, we went to go after Lindsay School. And we was going through all the different stages, and we'd partnered with a Christian company in Huddersfield, who were a big building company, and we was going with all the phases through them, and the council was taking us through each phase. And as we was going through this phase, we was having meetings constantly with the council, and I was still doing the shoeboxes, and we needed another warehouse. And I said to the council, look, do you have anywhere special, anywhere we could have for a warehouse for the shoeboxes? Leave it with us, Pam. And anyway, we came out of the meeting. Following month, we met. And he said to me, at the end of the meeting, he said, Pam, he says, we've got a place for you for shoeboxes. So I said, okay, great. So I said, when can I see it? He said, Wednesday morning. He said, meet us at this particular school. Well, I must have passed this school many, many times, but I'd never seen it, believe it or not. And I went round this school, and I went round the outside of it, and I came back, and most of you will know Ken Smith, who was working with us at that time. And I said to Ken, I said, I'm going to be cheeky. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, no, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask, he says. So we came back and we went round the school with the council, and halfway through I said to the council, can I be cheeky? And they said to me, Pam, you are the only one in this town who's allowed to be cheeky. I said, right. So I said, well, can I be cheeky and can I ask if I can have the whole of this school? And I said, can I have it not just for the shoeboxes, but can I have it for Rock while we're waiting to get Lindsay? And they turned round and said, Pam, that's a good idea, actually. I don't see why not. So I said, okay. So we got carried going on around the building. And as we went round the building, he said to us, Pam, would you like this? Would you like this? Would you like this? And everywhere we was going, they was putting Rock's name, Rock, Rock, Rock. After we left that building, they took me to a great big warehouse that the council had. And they said, nobody else will have this favour. And they took me to this big, big warehouse and said, Pam, anything in this warehouse is for you. He said, you can have anything you want. You just take whatever you want. You can have it. Do you know this? We never took a thing. We never needed to take a thing. We have never, ever had to take anything. God has always provided. From the day we started, for somebody coming in with computers to everything, we have never, ever wanted for anything. It has just been incredible. And we came out of that. We continued going in with Lindsay. Within 6 weeks, we moved in there with the shoeboxes, with Rock, everything else. We was in there within 6 weeks. Again, it's impossibility for the council. Normally, it could take a good 18 months. And was in there within 6 weeks. We moved from there. We came back to the meetings. We still have a meeting to the council. And we was getting up to the stage of going in for Lindsay. And every time they was telling us to go through it, each time it was costing us £10,000, this building company. They was doing all the plans and the council kept asking for more. And it was going on and on and on. And when we moved into Home Hill School, we moved in and basically we had £25,000 in the bank. And which to us was a lot of money. And we moved in, and as we moved in, we'd been in about a month, and all of a sudden, an envelope came through the post, which you do not want to have, and it was a bill for £12,000 for water. And I thought, how come we've got this bill, £12,000 for water? There's got to be something wrong. And no, £12,000. And I went into the car park, and it was with Ken, and we just saw a little damp spot in the corner. And I said to Ken, should that be there? And it's a nice, bright summer day, so I don't think so. We called the water board in and they found there was a great big lake right underneath the building, and it had probably been running for years and years and years. Council wouldn't help us with it, nobody would help us with it. We was also coming up to do the last piece of work we needed to do before getting Lindsay, and we needed to spend another £10,000, and we said, well, if we spend this and we pay for this water bill, it's wiped us out, and as you know, we've got to keep so much reserves. So we called all the board together. And we said to the board, okay, you know, what do we do here? Each one of you, go away and pray. And we're not going to do anything unless everybody's in agreement. So every board member went away and prayed. And we all came back and we felt it was God's will for us to move forward. So we paid the water bill. We got a little bit reduced off it. We paid for this £10,000 for the to have it done. Carried on, and it got to the day that that building was supposed to be ours. And then right after the deadline, and we could have taken them to court, but we didn't, but after the deadline, they came back and said that somebody had come along with a backhanded deal, took the whole thing. And we spent £48,000 on that. And I can remember my board were absolutely devastated, and I said, look, don't worry. I said, don't worry, God has obviously got something better for us. God is no man's debtor, and he will not let us go. Anyway, we carried on, and again, it was a hard thing for some of the board members to take. But we carried on, and time was going. We thought we needed to move on from the building we was in, and we needed really to have our own building. And it was looking round, and I can remember we went after another small farm, and we didn't have any money for it. And God started to really challenge me as myself, and said, "Would you be willing to let your house go? And would you be willing to give everything for me? I mean everything." And I can remember putting my house up for sale, and very reluctantly at the time, but I put my house up for sale and said, okay, God, I'm willing to do that. And my house was going to go to pay the deposit and everything for it. And again, was going through with that, and right at the very end, we found that the person we was buying it for hadn't been very honest with his tax and very quickly came out of the deal. And I just felt at that time it was just God really challenging me to how much I was prepared to give. And again, as we know, God wants everything. He doesn't want part of us. He wants absolutely everything. And we came to a couple of weeks later. I was going past Rock. And I'd gone into work another way, actually. And I noticed this building, and I noticed it was for sale. And I said to one of my board members about this building being for sale. I said, I don't think it's big enough for Rock. And he said, have you been in it, Pam? So I said, no. He said, it goes back a long way. So we decided to look into it. And as you know, that is where we are at the moment in Henage Road. And it was amazing. What I didn't tell you, that money in the bank, that £25,000, never, ever went down. It just started to go up and up and up. Don't ask me how, but it just started to go up and up and up. Well, we know how. And we had enough money to put a deposit down in the building, and we had enough money to do all the repairs. And it was just absolutely incredible. And just the money just started to go and go and go. And again, it was just amazing. While we was doing that, what was incredible, we started to put in for a grant. And it was a grant to People's Millions, it was called. And we'd put in this grant. We'd got through phase one. Then we'd got through phase two, when we were starting to think, oh, my word. Then we'd got through phase three, and we'd never had a grant this big. And then I got asked to go for television training. And I thought, oh, my word. And I was absolutely, well, I couldn't believe it. And it was all happened just as we had moved in to Home Hill School. We had our dedication service on the, I think it was the, we moved in on the Monday, and we was having our dedication service on the Thursday. And it was the day of our dedication service that I was asked to go to Sheffield for television training. Anyway, we came back, we got through all that, and we came back. And again, God undertook absolutely amazingly there. That was another absolutely incredible time. We got there, and everybody in the room had been for television training before. They'd all been on television before. I hadn't. I was the only one. And we walked into the room, and they said, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to make you feel so uncomfortable. And I'm thinking, oh, no. We was all tired out. We'd been working 12-hour days trying to get the building done, and was absolutely flat out. And I thought, oh, that's all we need. And it said, right, you've got 2 minutes to tell the person next to you about your charity. So very quickly, people were telling people about charity. And they said, right, now you're going on camera, and we're going to be interviewing you. And then after the interview, said, we're going to slate you, and we're going to pull you to pieces and what have you. So we did it. Everybody got on. I think I was number 8 out of 10. And it came to mine, and I was going, OK. And then you know how you lose a word. And I had lost my word. And I couldn't. I said, look, I'm sorry. I said, I've lost my word. I'm sorry, I've blown it. No, Pam, just carry on. So I carried on. Came to replaying it back to everybody, and they did everybody's. And they were absolutely awful. They looked the way people were dressed, the way they spoke, the way they held themselves, the way things they were saying. They were cruel. They were awful. And it came to mind, I'm thinking, I just want to disappear, like the floorboards open up, you know, it's awful. And it was just a deadly silence. And it said, right, what does everybody think? And it was just a deadly silence. I thought, oh, my word. And with that, he said, that is what we're wanting. And it was just incredible. I was absolutely blown away. And he said, that's exactly what we're wanting. And it was amazing. I think I came out of there with flying colours and absolutely everything else. It was incredible. But then we got to go on the TV. They came to Rock. They filmed us. We went on the TV. And as most of you know, we won People's Millions. We had the most votes in the whole of this area. I mean, in fact, we had the most votes for what everybody put together did. And it was incredible. And what was amazing, we ended up with 50,000. We had lost 48,000 through that, but God gave us back the 50,000. And we was able to buy a laser machine. Now, that laser machine today is being used to spread the gospel all the way around this nation. I said, it's producing. We're working with a Christian wholesaler, and it's producing the word of God every single day, which is going around, and it's in every single bookshop in this country. Oops, sorry. So it's just amazing the way God has used that for his glory. And we've been using it. We wanted something to try and help to make this charity was sustainable. And that is another thing that is trying to, at the moment, helping this charity as well. So that is just incredible, the way God had just completely turned that around. Again, we moved, we was in Home Hill School, and one of the big things, what has been a big concern to us, and that is our parents have been desperate. What is going to happen to their children when they pass on? And again, we was very concerned about this. And yes, there are places in Grimsby, and we've seen two of our girls raped in one of these places in Grimsby, and some are good, some are not so good. And we wanted somewhere that we knew that our students would be safe, there'd be nice surroundings, and they'd be looked after properly. And again, it was just incredible. I'd had a meeting with one of my board members, and I'd come out, which I normally do annually, and I came out, and he said to me, my colleague said to me, he said, you don't seem very happy, Pam. And I said, no, I said, I'm not. And they said, why aren't you happy? And I said, I'm not getting any younger, and I know the vision God gave me. And I said, I'm just concerned. And she said, have you seen this place at Coaster? And I said, no, I haven't. And I went to have a drive around it, and I thought, well, it's okay, it doesn't really do anything for me. From the outside, it didn't look anything. And I agreed to meet a estate agent, so I went round a couple of days later with the estate agent, and I thought, wow. And it was huge, with 10.5 acres, and I thought, this has got Rock's name all over it. I thought, this is absolutely incredible. And at the time, it was up for 970,000. It might have been anything. We didn't have 970,000. You know, what are we going to do? And anyway, we managed to get it down. It came down. I think it came down to about 700 and something and what have you. Anyway, Cath, our bank, decided to come and see us. And he came to, I showed him, went up to Casey, showed me. He said, Pam, this is amazing. He said, this has got Rock's name all over it. He said, we've got to try and do everything we can to get this place for you. So I said, okay. So I said, if I was able to pay off Grimsby, would you use that for collateral for Caister? And he said, yes, providing it all valued up, no problem. So I said, okay. So we went and we started looking at it. And again, amazingly, the money started to come in for Grimsby. And it was incredible. And I think in the end, I think we had, I think it was about 23,000 that people lent us in £1,000 loans or things like that, £5,000 loan over a 5-year period. Apart from that, every single penny of that money came in. And we ended up having to have a valuer to come and value. The valuer came to value Grimsby, and I said to the valuer, as an independent valuer, I said, will this building value up for me so I'm able to get Caister? So he said, oh, Pam. He said, not a problem. He said, we'll value up. He said, look what you've done here. Look at the land alone. If it was to be knocked down, not a problem. Anyway, they valued it up. They went to Caister and he said, Pam, he says, how much are you paying for this? He said, this is incredible. The finish of this, he said, the way it is, how big it is, the land. He said, do you realise what you're getting for your money? He said, this is incredible. Anyway, he went away. We didn't hear anything for about a month. And I went into the office one day and everyone was in the office and it was all looking really gloomy and everything. And I said, what's the matter? We've lost it, Pam, we've lost it. So I said, why have we lost it? He said, the valuers come back and they've devalued Grimsby and they've devalued Caister. I said, praise the Lord. So they said, what do you mean? I said, this is God. So I got on the phone, I rang the estate agent and I said to the estate agent, okay, I said, we've got a problem. I said, they've devalued this property. And I said, I'm willing to offer you 505,000 and not a penny more. And he said to me, well, maybe we cut some of the land off it. I said, no. Nope. And the whole place was furnished with all nursery equipment, which was the best of the best of the best. It was worth a fortune. And he said, we'll take all the furniture out. We'll take it and just have it. I said, no. I said, no deal. I said, either you let us have it as it is or no deal at all. I said, go back to your client and have a word with them. Anyway, we didn't hear anything for a month. And during that time, things had moved on. And we came to a time that we had to pay off the building. And we got to pay up, we came today, and in fact, a couple of days earlier, we was going to pay off the building, and my secretary sent the cheque to the wrong place. And I said, don't worry. And in the end, I had to go into the bank on my own again, which is amazing. And I said to my colleagues, I said, we're going to pay this building off today. But I said, also, I said, we're going to have a phone call from the estate agent today as well. And I said, I can tell you now what it's going to be. She said, how do you know? I said, just know. As soon as we pay this building off, we're going to have a phone call from the estate agent. And we hadn't heard from him for a month. I went in, paid the building off, came back, and lo and behold, phone call. And it was the estate agent saying to us, Pam, I've got good news for you. You've got the building. Everything as it is, the whole lot. And we got the whole thing, 505,000. And it's just been incredible. You know, we was able to sell. We needed about £12,000, sorry. We needed about £12,000 before we could even open the building, just for the electrics and everything else, just to get them up and running again. And, you know, was able to sell all the furniture. And we had enough money just to pay to get everything done we needed. And we had enough stuff left over that we was able to bless another Christian charity who was able to start a school in Africa. And there's enough stuff there. They had computers, they had desks, they had everything they needed, chairs, they had the lot. All the special educational toys, they had everything. And we was able to bless them with that as well. And it's just been absolutely amazing the way that God has blessed us that way. And, you know, during that as well, as you've probably heard from the media, unfortunately, again, that we about 4 years ago now, we started 5 years now, we actually started a food bank. What was amazing, what I haven't told you, when I went to start Rock, they told me there was no need for Rock. When I went to start the food bank, I was told there was no need for a food bank. But each time we felt God telling us that this is what we needed to do. And we went to start the food bank, and lo and behold, who wasn't to know that today we're the only one in the town. And again, what happened there, was something that we as a board wanted to do many years ago, and we decided to wait until we felt it was God's timing. And I was in London visiting one of my daughters, and I had a phone call from an organisation and another Christian charity saying, Pam, would you like some food? We've got a lot of fresh food. Would you like it? So I said yes, and it ended up with being a fantastic relationship with them, and they started piling food on. Time is gone, so I can't say too much about it. But today, what has been incredible is that we're in the food bank. We are feeding today. Last Wednesday, we fed 100 people, plus 30 people who are on the streets as well. And so we have 130 people just alone last Wednesday. And we're feeding around about 400 people a day. So it's just been absolutely incredible. I say the media just recently have been all over us, as you know, because we've had lots of problems there with the media, and we've had lots of problems with the council. We're trying to charge us huge rates and utilities and things like that. But I think we're on the winner's side. I believe we're on the winner's side, and we believe God's going to do great things there. And even again, we just say we don't know how God is leading us. I said it was at last, just to bring up to date very quickly, last Sunday I had a phone call, and it was the BBC. And I was just about to go out the door to go away, and it was the BBC saying, we want you down in London to go on the Victoria Derbyshire show. And that was just, again, it's just incredible. And we just wait and see now what God is going to do from that as well. And, you know, God has just continued to lead us. So much things I can tell you. We had somebody get saved from food bank a couple of weeks ago. We had another young man go off to a Christian rehab. And God is doing great things. Please, will you pray for that food bank? It is an open mission field. And God is doing fantastic things through that food bank. And I believe that God's going to use that food bank as well to do many, for many souls to come to know him as their personal saviour. It's an open mission field there. And we're desperately needing Christians in there who can just come and sit in with them and just minister to them. And who knows, maybe even be winning to Christ. I'm going to shut up.